Hello and welcome to the Beard and Hat Connection. As always, I am one of the bearded co-hosts. I am a vanilla midget. And today we have a good guest, but we're not going to get to that yet because I have to introduce the hats. Mike, say what up.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back for another week of Beard and Hat Connection.
Yeah, Mike's just happy because he's still the predictions champion with that weak job he pulled on me last week. He went real heel last month.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
What a dick. So anyway, we have a great guest on today. We have my man Arun, who also helped me in a handicap match against our buddy Aubrey Sitterson on an episode of Straight Shoe you may have seen. So say what up, Arun.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me out here. I appreciate it.
I'm loving that background, dude. What's all that stuff going on back there? You want to throw some of that back?
Yeah. It's a lot of statues my wife set up. We got some G.I. Joe out here. I work in Marvel, so we got a bunch of Marvel and S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff up here. Love the Captain America. Love the X-Men. Got some framed signed comics. You know, just want to bring some flavor to this.
Oh, I'm loving it, man. Yeah, that's some toy spotting. It's the comics, like you said, everything. Captain America, I love Captain America. And then it released the first movie on my birthday, July 22nd, so I got really, I'm like, oh, I am Captain America. That makes sense, you know, one of those kind of things.
You know what? You look just like Chris Evans. It's uncanny.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't work that part of it, but, you know, it is what it is. Mike, what do you think about fucking Captain America? How do you feel about him?
I love Captain America. Captain America, Bucky is a big... The Winter Soldier and Bucky, like, I think are hilarious. And, of course, we got... Don't forget the little Doctor Doom.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I only have one of those because you gave me your extra one, Mike. But I love that thing.
Yeah, I have a bunch of them just kind of sitting around that are, you know, not visible on the screen. I got to get a show.
Yeah, you don't have your background set up as well as our guest, Arun. And that's a problem to me. But we'll get to that later. So, anyway, let's talk some wrestling, guys. Raw this week. Was it the worst Raw ever? How about you, Arun? What do you think about it?
I don't think it's the worst ever because I'm one of the rare people who during the Attitude Era just tuned out, and so I guess that would be worse to me. I also remember distinctly Orton Knows Best, which I think might have stunk a bit more than some of the stuff we saw here. So I say that loving Orton. So I don't think it was the worst. I think it was definitely a mixed bag. But look, I want to come back next week. Nothing made me not want to come back next week. There's enough compelling stuff, and frankly, the eulogy for Dean Ambrose saved the entire show for me.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the eulogy thing. I even put like, oh, I got to see Dean Ambrose's last match live, you know, because I was in Vegas the last week, so that was cool. And then some kid got really mad at me and goes, he's not dead, he's filming a movie. And I was like, all right, I know, I was just goofing around. But Mike, what do you think about this week's Raw?
It was very blah, with the exception of the Dean Ambrose thing, but... I mean, I don't like that John Cena's back so quickly. That bothers me. Like,
yeah, I would have liked him to be out a little while because now I feel like the mystique is gone. I originally thought we're going to see Brock Lesnar on some tear until WrestleMania, but now I kind of feel like he's just going to lose at Night of Champions. What do you think about John Cena coming back, Arun?
You know what, honestly, I think I don't mind him coming back. I just wish he hadn't basically defeated the Wyatt family by himself. I think John Cena is much better than a lot of the fans give him credit for. Cena definitely doesn't suck. He definitely does know how to wrestle. I think he's trapped in this thing where he can have the best match, and the problem always ends up being the last 3 minutes where he suddenly makes a crazy Super Cena comeback. You know, no one wants to see that on a regular basis, and I wish he had struggled a bit more with Ultimate injuries. I wish he'd been taped up. I wish they'd done something to show, like, he was hurting and he had a body part they could have worked, and I'm hoping he comes back strong at Night of Champions, and I'm hoping he still loses because I want to see what story they tell. The fact that they, and Cena presumably agreed to let himself get torn up with German suplexes at SummerSlam, is a good sign to me for where this will go.
Yeah, see, I had a lot of hope coming out of SummerSlam. I was like, this is a new era. Everything's going to change. The whole world is different. And then, like you said, he no-sold basically everything after a week. He didn't have nothing taped up. Even Rusev came out selling more the night after his match with Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. So that kind of worried me a little bit. But like you said, he is Super Cena. Maybe he's not supposed to ever sell anything. He's so badass. We're just supposed to believe he hurts, but he's fighting through it or something like that. What do you think about all that, Mike?
Well, I mean... Hulk Hogan was kissing his ass during that whole panel, so isn't he supposed to be the new Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, what about that panel? Did that do anything for you, Arun? Like, did that tell any part of a story or anything?
No, I mean, from the Raw commentary table that they looked like they put out there to the fact that no one had a real personality, like, you sort of want them to be someone up there. And when you have Shawn Michaels, you have Ric Flair, and you have Hulk Hogan, and... Every answer they say could be switched to each other. It doesn't really create anything compelling for me. There's nothing personal they drew from. They were just, it could have been the three of us up there.
Yeah, and it was like basically opinion A, opinion B, and then like a tweener trying to pick his side. And it could have been anything being discussed, could have been any three people talking, and it was like the blandest fucking thing ever. And it was three of the greats of all time, so it was kind of really wasted. I don't know. I like the Nikki Bella segment more than that, so let's talk about that for a second. What did you think about the Bella segment, Arun?
I'll be honest, while some of the delivery seemed a bit odd to me, I actually really liked the feud. The you should have died in the womb line may not have been delivered right, but that's pretty great. Like I can, and it's going personal. It certainly seems like there were some personal elements in here when they're talking about boyfriends of times past. I do think Nikki and Brie are going really stiff, for lack of a better term, in this feud. Like that hair pulling's real hair pulling. That they're gonna hurt each other, and it's actually kind of awesome to see them so committed. You could argue the end result, but honestly, as much as I love Paige and AJ, I think this might be the women's feud and one of the best feuds in the company right now.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, it's good that they have a few women's feuds going on, and none of them are bad. The AJ Paige thing is a very different thing. It's a little bit more, you know, Paige getting a little sexual and crazy, like all over the girls now. I don't know what that's about, but it's not a bad thing. But yeah, Nikki Bella, dude, whipping the shoes like fastballs at her sister. She don't even care, man. She's coming stiff, like you said. Like, they're getting loose. What do you think about all that, Mike?
This is funny because I have, like, my cousins are around the same age, and they act like this from time to time, where they like just get nuts and start hitting each other, and then I just sit and watch and laugh. But it's like
putting the cousins on blast. That's the idea.
I know, Mike. Seriously, Mike, why don't you just invite them to a ring and tell them to settle their differences? That probably would work, wouldn't it?
I tried. It didn't work.
You tried to sell that ticket.
But I mean, they're big Bella fans, and I think they like what's going on too, which is kind of crazy because they got involved with the whole Total Divas thing. But I think this is great because you have to have a sibling rivalry at some point. You know, there's the quote-unquote brothers of the Shield fighting each other, but now we have real bad blood, you know, bad blood between real blood relatives.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really know if I dug the way they presented it and the reasoning behind, like, Nikki turning on Brie, but, like, the actual, like, meat of it, where they're going at each other, I'm loving this. I'm glad Stephanie's kind of moved to the side because I don't even know. Her winning didn't really do anything for anybody, but I like that Brie and Nikki have something going on right now. The only question is, how long do you think this is going to last, Arun?
Well, what I think is so great about this, if you compare it to the Daniel Bryan feud, and I think you have to because of the people involved, you've basically taken the other gender of that feud, is that unlike Daniel Bryan last year, when Daniel Bryan lost, remember they kept putting him in the main event, there was no quest for him to come back. If you consider Stephanie, her Brie's main event challenge, they've transitioned her to a point where you care about this feud, and you can bring her back to her ultimate enemy in Stephanie down the road at WrestleMania, Survivor Series, whatever it is, and have a really good payoff, especially when Daniel Bryan comes back. Like, I want to see Triple H and Steph versus Brie and Daniel. Let's say that's a WrestleMania feud, maybe. That's the time they're taking now. I could see us going a pay-per-view or two, maybe three even, with the Bellas feuding. You finally get back to Stephanie somehow and have shenanigans. Brie will earn her win again. Daniel Bryan comes back strong. Like, this is being booked so well, given the nature of the of these programs. It's awesome. And Brie can feud with other divas if she had to as well. Like, there's so much life in this before you get back to Stephanie and the big bad guy loses.
Yeah, because what you could do is, like, have Nikki and Brie go for a little while. Then eventually it becomes, like, a number one contenders feud. Okay. Then she feuds with Paige. Then she gets to Stephanie. This is all dependent, too, on, like, how long it takes for Daniel Bryan to come back from the injury. Because, like you said, the big payoff will eventually be Brie beats Stephanie, then Daniel Bryan and Brie beat Triple H and Stephanie, and that might even take a couple tries, and that would be really fun to see. What do you think about all that, Mike?
No, I think that would be awesome. If they had all that build up into Royal Rumble, Daniel comes back at Royal Rumble, but he would have to win. Like, I'd like to see him win the Royal Rumble and then have a championship match at WrestleMania, but if he won the Royal Rumble and then they set that up for February and had the Elimination Chamber where it was like Brie and Stephanie, to sell that, because that's like a lull, you know what I mean? In between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, you have Elimination Chamber, which is okay, but it's never really had that, like, you know, gravitas that the other two have.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, there's a lot, like, you know, there's a lot of legs on it, basically, like Arun said. So I'm excited to see where it goes. Let's get to a couple questions. Our boy Levi Tindall says, I don't know if I just butchered your name. I'm sorry if I did, Levi. When and how do you think Dean Ambrose will return to the WWE? That's the question. So how do you think Dean Ambrose returns, Arun?
In my perfect world, he pulls a Kane and comes out from, like, the middle of the ring, clawing out from the depths of hell. Like, they literally play him coming back to life. But honestly, I think he comes back whenever he's done filming. You got to look at whatever pay-per-view makes sense. I imagine you'll see him come back just when we think Seth Rollins is going to cash in on whoever it is. I mean, I don't see him ever trying to cash in on Brock, but let's say there was someone else. That's when he would show up, or Seth is about to achieve something great, or he's beating down Roman Reigns. That's where Dean Ambrose comes in, because they've really transitioned. They finally, I guess Reigns finally remembered he had a friend in Dean Ambrose who was getting beat up each week, and it feels right to bring Ambrose back there, because you'll get a tag match eventually out of that too.
I love that, there's even something, you know, behind that little subtlety that you could go with, like Dean being like, where you been, bro? And then that starts up, because what I think is kind of going to happen is, like I said, John Cena's going to beat Brock at Night of Champions. Brock's going to beat the crap out of John Cena. Seth Rollins is going to get that cash in. And then you build the Shield to a triple threat match at WrestleMania for the title. Because I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to be ready by WrestleMania with all the stupid rumors out there. So who knows? What do you think about something? Where do you think the Shield and Dean Ambrose are going, Mike?
I'd like to see, like Arun was saying, Seth getting ready to cash in like a month or two or whatever. You know, and then Dean Ambrose just comes out of the crowd like dressed as, not in his gimmick gear, like his, well, obviously he's wearing jeans all the time, jeans Ambrose, but I mean, he doesn't have his stupid unstable shirt on. He has just like regular street clothes on and like a hat or something. So he comes jumping through the crowd and they're like, what the hell? You know,
we talked about this. I just put it up on the board. My man, Louis D at Oh Louis or Woo Louis, I think it is. We talked about it, and the whole thing was, you know, have Seth go to a hospital, get worked on by somebody, and then you do the bedpan scene all over again with Stone Cold, and it's Dr. Dean. And instead of, you know, a bedpan, it's like a wooden leg he hits him with or something like that. We talked about the whole gimmick. But but I also want to see, like, Dean Ambrose doing the No Country for Old Men and, like, working on himself, like, on his own time, because he escaped from the doctors. So how is he going to heal up? I think a couple promos like that to get it ready would be fun.
He's Anton Chigurh.
Yeah, you know, I think Jericho did something with Chigurh too, but it wasn't that, so that'd be fun. I don't know.
You know what? I think this is going to be the Bret Shawn of our generation. Honestly, when I was watching that WWE Network special on The Shield, The Journey to SummerSlam, which I thought was fantastic, by the way, showing the heat that Seth has with management and how cocky he still is, even if that's partly character kayfabe. Honestly, it reads real. I love it. But I do you remember those videos where Bret Hart was like running super slow on ice in Canada and Shawn's like doing his big, you know, crazy training in the gym? That's essentially what this was. It was Dean Ambrose running in the deserts of Nevada while Seth Rollins is training in a CrossFit gym. Like, this to me could be our Bret Shawn of our generation, and I don't want it to end anytime soon.
Yeah, and unlike that, I feel like these guys actually love each other outside the ring, so there's no reason to force each other out of the picture at any time. They'll always be able to come back together. They might even do the Shield reunion 3 or 4 times with the longevity in their career possible. So, yeah, I love that. I never thought about it like that as the Bret Shawn thing, but that is genius. What do you think about the Bret Shawn thing, Mike?
As you know, I'm a big HBK mark, so that would be a great... I'd like to see another feud like that with Bret and Shawn. And then, you know, they could play it up like they hate each other, and then they could come back and have the reconciliation, like you were saying, with the Shield, like 4 or 5 times, like the NWO and the Four Horsemen did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so there's one more question, and it came through Twitter, and it's from my man, at F Scopers, because he's a figure scoper. He's into that toy spotting gimmick. And he wants to know, where do you think WWE is going to go with Steen, Kenta, and Devitt? Do you have any preconceived notions on that, Arun?
Honestly, if you had told me El Generico would turn out to be one of my favorite wrestlers as a dude called Sami Zayn, I would have laughed and said, you're crazy.
Did you like El Generico, though?
I was sort of into him. I don't think I quite ever understood what I mean, Aubrey actually took me to 2007 to my first ROH show, so I was spoiled. It was like Morishima, Daniel Bryan, it was... You know, No Remorse Core, all this crazy stuff I got, but I didn't get El Generico. Now I get him. He's the ultimate babyface in Sami Zayn. I love it. I love the silly dancing. It works for me. I haven't seen enough of the other guys. I've seen Steen enough, but I don't have any idea what you do with, except they all seem super talented. And given how they've handled The Shield, Daniel Bryan, and a lot of other talented guys in NXT, I have complete faith.
I have an idea, and it's kind of like a wacky prediction that we do. I'm thinking you go basically, you know, we've been doing on Straight Shoot Retro the Midnight Express versus the original Midnight Express. So you have all three of these guys just start a new Shield, and then they feud with the old Shield, and I think that would be amazing. Just have them all beat the shit out of each other. TLC, oh, you start at TLC like you did with the real Shield. You have them all kill each other. I think that would be fun. What do you think, Mike?
That'd be great. Well, they have to pair Kenta with somebody. at least one of these two guys because they're concerned about Kenta's, you know, ability to cut promos, obviously, with him coming from Japan. I don't know how well his English is. You know, that's going to have to be something they deal with. But I think Steen could be the... I compared him to this last ROH pay-per-view I watched. He could be the new Bam Bam Bigelow, really. Just a shorter version. Because he's a big athletic guy, and he could jump and flip and do all that crazy nonsense off the top ropes like Bam Bam was doing.
It's funny, because I sometimes think of Luke Harper as like Bam Bam. Obviously, he's not fat, but he's gigantic and really athletic. But yeah, Kevin Steen could be a little like pocket-sized version of him, which was already a pocket-sized version of Vader. So yeah, the whole thing would be really fun. I don't know. But let's go on to some NXT. And I know Arun's a big NXT fan. How do you feel about Sasha Banks, Arun?
You know what? I am impressed at the women's division in NXT. Everybody there is a distinct character. They got great moveset. They can all go. There's no one I've seen there who I ever think, wow, they need a bit more flavoring. They're incredible. Every one of them has a character. The boss is a great, simple character. You hear that name, you know what she is. And it verges on being...
Hashtag you can use. It's all that.
Yeah, it's verging on being stereotypically, you know, black in that uncomfortable WWE way, but it never goes too far over in the way you could argue some other gimmicks with African Americans go over. And she has a distinct motivation. The relationship with Summer Rae, with Charlotte's nice and complex. Absolutely great talent. I think, if anything, they may not have enough spots in the main roster for all the talent they have in the women's group in NXT.
Thank God for the WWE Network. What do you think about Sasha Banks right now, Mike?
I'm all in on Sasha Banks. I was hoping that she would somehow show up at Raw that we were at. I was like, I hope Sasha Banks is here.
Even if it was just as like a gladiatress that would help out Triple H, would that be okay? Like at WrestleMania, or would you want her to actually wrestle?
No, well, that would have been fine. We got Emma in the Superstars taping that was happening, so I was hoping maybe they'd give her some love. But it is what it is. They were putting her over on the commentary on Thursday, saying you know she wrestled at Madison Square Garden at like a house show or whatever and did well. And so they're obviously going to push her a little bit because now she has that feud, like Arun was saying, with the former BFFs, Charlotte and Summer Rae, and she's always got the thing with Bayley too.
It's funny, though, because like Arun said, there may not be enough spots on the main roster, because look who's moved up right now, okay? You got Paige, she's doing great. You got Emma, she's doing the opposite. You have Adam Rose, who's been terrible and was rushed entirely. They didn't even really flesh him out in NXT before they brought him up. And then Bo Dallas, who's kind of middling, and then the Wyatt family just kind of got shit on this week. I don't know, where do you feel on all the NXT talent coming in? Like, who would you bring up next, basically, Arun?
Honestly, I would say Sami Zayn could fill that Rey Mysterio, whoever it is, void of the super babyface. Every generation, there's a wrestler or two I feel should never go heel. Rey Mysterio is the one I felt never go heel. The kids do need someone to cheer for. Yeah, exactly. I think Sami Zayn could be that next guy who you can build title reigns around and a show around. I keep wanting to call him Pretty Prince Aubrey. It's stuck in my head for that stupid character Aubrey created.
But I just call him Shitterson, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but Tyler Breeze, I think, is so ahead of the curve. That character is so perfect. He's like, and I say with respect to John Morrison, who I've met, who's an awesome guy, he's like John Morrison with even better mic skills. Like he's got
and even
that
a little
look.
Uglier, so it kind of like makes it work better.
Well, he's like the guy version of what a good-looking guy looks like. He's not the girl version of what a good-looking guy looks like. And so and it's perfect because his catchphrases, his entrance, the fact that the phone is connected to the Titantron so you can see what he's looking at. You bring him up, he fits in perfectly. Let him feud with a Fandango at first or whoever it is to get over and make fun of the Uggos. Hell, him and Chris Jericho, I'd buy into that right away.
Yeah, and see, the difference here would be that you know, Tyler Breeze already worked out a moveset. NXT is already exposed in the WWE audience. When they threw Fandango into that WrestleMania match, Jericho didn't even know what to do with the guy. He's like, well, we got 15 minutes or whatever. What the fuck? So, yeah, that was one of the worst WrestleMania matches I've ever seen. And Fandango suffered because of that rush job. So it's just funny to think of that. They didn't even give him enough time in NXT either. But, Mike, what are you thinking? Who are you bringing up first from NXT?
They need to get the Ascension off NXT TV, whether it's by bringing them up to the main roster or just kind of like letting them go. But I agree with the Tyler Breeze thing, but I think he should work with Miz. If Miz is still working this moneymaker gimmick, they have the two, you know, the pretty off, basically. We have like the Rick Rude Ultimate Warrior pose down thing, but they're just doing the Derek Zoolander kid who can't read good faces and stuff.
And see, what I would do there is I'd have them feud for like a month or two, and then have them realize they're both beautiful and have them tag team champions for the next fucking 6 months or so. But the only problem is now Damian Mizdow came out, and that's my new favorite thing in the world. So if you could work all that into a stable, I would be so happy.
Well, he's the stunt double for both
for
of them.
For both of them, yes. What are you thinking, Arun?
I'm thinking, what if you had a male version of the Beautiful People? I'm saying just add him to the Miz's family. Like, and they're like, the A-listers is a bad name, but it's like, it wouldn't be that different than Eminem. Except,
the Moneymakers almost?
Yeah, exactly. That's great. And who they feud with is Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler will make Breeze look even better. Not that he needs to, but that would be a great feud. And the fact they sort of look not that different actually works for me in a twisted way.
Yeah, exactly. They do kind of look related almost, like a mirror fight from a video game or something. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm digging that. So, all right, let's do a little something here. We're going to play some Down or Out. You ever played Down or Out? You know what that is, Arun?
No, okay. But tell me.
All right, so basically, I'll just say a topic or whatever WWE thing, and you'll say whether you're down with it, which is, you know, you're into it, or you're out, you know what I mean? You don't want nothing to do with it. So first of all, Down or Out, have you played this WWE Supercard game?
I'm neither. I have not tried it yet.
Okay, Mike, how you feeling about it? You down with it?
Yeah, I'm way down. I mean, I tweet out my record every once in a while. You know, I got some nice cards. I haven't won the King of the Ring yet, which is kind of disappointing. I made it to the semifinals and lost. So.
Oh, man, that sucks. There's a lot of guys who never made it to the top of the King of the Ring, but they made it to the top of the world. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, WWE Supercard, I'm also down with it. I've only played, like, you know, 300 matches only. I know a lot of people out there getting down with the gold cards and shit. I haven't gotten nothing like that. But what's your deck right now, Mike?
I got Andre the Giant, Big Show, Roman Reigns, and Jey Uso, all super rare, and a rare Natalya.
Damn, so you're coming with the big guys right off the bat. Andre the Giant and Big... Do they, like, work as a team? Like, do their things match up?
Yeah, they match up. The Andre the Giant has the up yellow arrow. Big Show has the down yellow arrow. So they're my tag team.
That's dope. Right now, I got the regular rare Taker, super rare Christian, regular rare Yokozuna, Hogan, and then Eva Marie is the killer on Divas for rare cards. It's shocking. She's my new favorite Diva just because of this game. Arun, you got to check out this game, my dude.
I will.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so here you go. Down or out, Arun, with Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon being the cover athletes of the WCW's 50 OMG moments?
I'm down with it because of the sheer balls it takes to do that. And I think if nothing else, they're just working us the way the McMahons work us like no one else. And anything with Shane O'Mac is good to me.
Damn, yeah, putting over Shane O'Mac is not a bad idea. What do you think? I can't even argue with Arun.
I full on agree with that. It's like, oh yeah, this is a WCW DVD. Suck my dick. I'm Vince McMahon. I own it. I'm putting my face on it.
Straight up, man. I love it. So yeah, exactly. I thought it was one of the ballsiest moves ever. What do you got? You got any topics over there, Mike? I hope you did something this week with that pre-production, baby.
Well, I mean, like as a whole, that DVD. Are you guys down or out with it?
Yeah, I'm down with anything WCW on. I just love when they're making money off the things they paid for. I don't know. It was a good idea. What do you think, Arun?
I'm down. I was a guy during the Attitude Era. I was one of the few guys who was a Rocky Maivia and a Blue Bloods Triple H fan, but I switched over to WCW pretty quick, and I left when it got a bit more, when they were like rapping people and barbed wire kicking the crap out of them. But let me tell you, I've never popped more in wrestling than when Sting comes out with a bat and finally talks. He's like, "You've got no guts, and you're a dead man." That was the most markup moment I'll ever have in wrestling. That was the era of Benoit and Malenko as a curtain jerker. That was
Ultimate Dragon.
Yeah, it was. And WCW had the best video games. You know,
oh,
that was,
man.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, dude. Because even like the one on PlayStation, WCW versus the World was great. And then yeah, once WCW versus NWO World Tour, then you got Revenge. It was like forget about it, dude.
Yeah, those two were the best. Man, I think I ruined some controllers just playing that game. That was the ish.
Yeah, me and Mike played the N64 into this year still. Sometimes you got to bust out the Perfect Dark or the No Mercy. So, yeah, I love those games. See, that was another thing. WWE was smart, and they took Aki or whatever and had them make their 64 games. So that was great. Vince is just so good at this. He's the Nucky Thompson of wrestling, and I just love it.
It's like, what do you think is going to be on that DVD? Give me a moment that, like, besides the ones that they show on the thing with, like, the RoboCop and all that shit, and I'm sure that Sting's going to be on there, but give me a moment that you guys think is going to be on there. We'll go Jeff first.
Ooh, I'm going to go rare right here. I'm going to go with the OMG moment of Bret Hart coming out with the chair and hitting Rick Martel in the back and injuring him for his career just randomly in a Nitro. I think they're just going to throw that out there because I think it's like bad shit, you know what I mean? Kind of like botches, and I think that would be one of the botchamania moments of Bret Hart's career. So what do you think, Duran?
There's two of them. I'm not sure if it's an OMG moment, really, but I think the Man of 1004 holds has to be there, but it may not qualify. I almost wonder if to further crap on what some of the people did there, if they go with the time Bischoff revealed that Mankind was going to win the title, just to show how silly that was that, and how WWE won after that. It feels like the kind of thing they do. But, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know RoboCop was ever in WCW, and that is awesome.
Yeah, it makes you want to bust out like a WWE or a RoboCop figure to go with the toy spotting gimmick. What was I going to say? Damn, I had another good one. Oh, when Dusty turned on everybody, I think it was Zabisco, and became an NWO member. That's going to be on there. So what do you think, Mike? What is something that you're thinking about?
Well, I mean, they call it incidents. So, obviously, it's good, the NWO thing's going to be on there. Like, when they picked up Rey Mysterio and lawn darted him into the production truck, that, and they hit Scotty Riggs in the face with the fire extinguisher, and then that turned him into a Raven's Flock member.
Those, so it's basically just going to be the Monday Night War documentary, just in cut into numbers? Is that how it's going
to
be?
Like, the Monday Night War, let's get to that. The Monday Night, the first episode of Monday Night Wars, I missed the premiere or whatever because I was at work. I tried to watch it the other night. It put me to sleep. I fell asleep during this shit because I'd seen it before like 800 times.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Have you watched it, Arun?
Yeah, I watched it. The funny part to me is like is how they have to intercut footage from like 1998 or whatever. It was like the Ted Turner stuff, and then I thought it was even-handed. I've only watched the first half of the first episode. It didn't capture
you to sleep too? Is that what happened?
Well, it didn't feel like the typical WWE like super slick production. It very much felt like they were cobbling stuff together, and it may get better, mind you, again, first half of the first episode. But honestly, what I keep wanting to have happen is I want them to do an NWO like legit series that shows every turn and every major moment, even though that would essentially be like every Nitro because everyone turned NWO. But that's what I want to see from the network. It's like something where it shows, where I get all the minutiae of NWO, where I get a complete timeline. I don't have to watch every pay-per-view and every Nitro to see this. And I think the Monday Night Wars, look, we know we're never going to get a WCW position as a juggernaut it really was. They're never really going to show us how close Vince was to being out of business or losing money or whatever the truth of that is. And without Ted Turner and Eric Bischoff being able to be candid, I have less interest in it. I want to hear more on the WCW side.
Yeah, and the thing is, like you said, we know who won the war, so they're going to tell the story how they want. But yeah, all the Bischoff stuff is from the other DVD they already made, and the Rise and Fall, or whatever the hell. And it's just, like you said, it's cobbled together. I watched the first two episodes, and then, as I'm halfway through the second episode, I'm like, is this the same episode that I already watched? And then the third episode was a little bit better, because it focused on WWE, and it had those guys talking about their shit, so they were allowed to be a little bit more honest, like you were saying. So I don't know, but my man Martin Dixon wants to know, he's at Bunny Suicida, what about Jericho getting lost and locked out of arenas? Is that an OMG moment?
That's a good moment. I like that.
Yeah, anything Jericho. Like you said, the 1004 holds, where Marty Jannetty comes out and jobs while he's taking the list out, like the whole thing. They got to have all the
You could do a whole series on the best moments of WCW featuring Chris Jericho, and I don't know when the episodes would end. Boris Malenko. Everything, even just his different hairstyles, you could focus on it. I'd be excited. Like
the way he called people the wrong names, like Prince Iake was Prince Nakamaki or whatever. It was amazing.
You know, he'd probably be into it too. Like that guy can. When it comes to WCW, that run was as perfect, I think, as perfect can be for as a fan. I there was never a bad match. There was never a bad promo. I remember that was. He really, I think, as big as he is, should have been much bigger given what he brought to the table.
Yeah, I love Jericho. I know Mike likes Jericho, too. What's your favorite Jericho moment ever, Mike?
Well, the 1004 holds thing is my favorite thing of all time because he had the gimmick, the gimmick tights with the 1004 on the back. They even made it into the Nintendo 64 games that we were just talking about. Like, he had the 1004 gimmick on the trunks. Like, that was the funniest thing to me. It was just him trolling.
I love Ralphus. I was a big fan of Ralphus and that whole thing when he had his own personal security. I don't know. There's just so much. Like you said, that whole run was amazing. I had the Monday Night Jericho shirt, like all that stuff. So, yeah, it was amazing. All right, so let's do a couple more things real quick. The toy spotting toy of the week is Mankind that just came out. I did the review, so I'll put that on the annotations if you're watching this later on. The Straight Shoot Retro Greatest Wrestler of All Time of the week was Ricky Steamboat, of course. I don't know how you guys feel about that. What's your feelings on Steamboat, Arun?
You know what? I honestly never really got into him. So I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling a lot as a kid. My parents wouldn't let me watch a lot of it, even though growing up in Toronto, we all knew Bret Hart, and he was a national hero. And I can't understate how big he and important he is to Canadian history. But I got into Steamboat actually with the Jericho feud at Mania 25. That's how I got into him. I started watching, and he was amazing at that age, so I went back and watched old matches. He's one of my top five, easy. It's incredible how good he was, and he's still better than most of the people, not because they're bad, he's just so good.
Yeah, he was amazing. What do you think about the Steamer, baby?
I'm big on the Steamboat. You know what I mean? I like that he brought the kid out back in the day. He'd bring his son with him. Then he had the Komodo Dragon gimmick with him all the time. He'd shoot the fire every once in a while. Like, the toy came with the whole dragon thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was just a great gimmick outside of the ring, and then once he stepped inside the ropes, like, it was, second to none almost.
Yeah, exactly. And an honorable mention on the Toy Spotting Toy of the Week, my man Key Crush was like, you gotta do a barbed wire ring, so I made a bunch of paper clips into a barbed wire ring, and I got that in there, so that was kind of fun. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, so we can have the old ECW matches, or the Terry Funk versus Mick Foley Japanese death matches that they used to have back in Japan.
I need to find out a way to make it explode. I'm going to get some firecrackers. That's what I think I need, so I can have the exploding ring death matches. But anyway, that's pretty much it. Anything else you want to put over? You going to get NHL 15 this year, Arun?
I hope so. I definitely want to get it. I do want to put over that our boy Aubrey has his Shred Shoot shirt on sale for $19.99 this weekend. Go Google Straight Shoot. Go pick up the shirt. Also, just want to say, again, thanks for inviting me, guys. This is a real fun show. I'm a big fan. I think you guys do a great job, and I'm glad we basically agree on everything.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's great to have somebody of your caliber on the show. But I got to plug my stuff. Twitch TV is where I'm at. I play all the stupid video games. Jeff's got the Straight Shoot shirt up right now.
Yeah, baby. I got it right here if you guys want to talk about it. There it is. Tommy Smith's work. It's amazing. Great shirt. Very comfortable cotton and all that, or whatever fabric it is. I don't know fabrics. But anyway, yeah, Mike's doing the Twitch thing. He's doing all that. He's got to get some more editing equipment so he can do some more kind of different videos instead of just streams. And then, VanillaMidget.com, we got that. We got the Patreon on there if you want to help us up our production values or get more toys for toy spotting videos or whatever. And check out Guardians of the Galaxy, all that great stuff, because Marvel shit rules. What is it, the new S.H.I.E.L.D.? When's the new S.H.I.E.L.D. season?
Yeah, I'm really bad. S.H.I.E.L.D. returns Tuesday, September 23rd at our new time slot, 9/8 Central. If you're a kid or a kid at heart, tomorrow is the season premiere of Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors on Disney XD. It's actually, even if you didn't like the other seasons, it's a really awesome season. This is some of the best, I think the best Marvel animation ever, to be honest. You're going to really love the show. Keep going when you get to the Spider-Verse arc with Miles Morales, Spider-Knight, Spider-Man 2099. It's all crazy, awesome stuff. It's a real fun show, and, we got Marvel's Agent Carter next year, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix next year, which is going to blow your minds. It's a good time to be a Marvel fan.
Yeah, dude, I'm loving it. I can't wait, because like you said, all that stuff with Spider-Man, we grew up with that. That was like the 90s. That was like the comic I was most into, besides obviously Batman. And Spider-Man is the greatest. So thank you for that. Hey, any comics you want to shout out to, Mike? I know you've been reading a lot lately.
No, well, I'm still in the – I'm trying to finish the Civil War storyline again.
Like, oh, you went back. That was smart. Yeah. That was good stuff. You had
it's in the middle. I just finished, was it Captain America 24? Mm-hmm. So it's like part two of the three-part series in his Civil War run.
So you haven't got to the part where him and Punisher meet up yet?
No, that's the one where Punisher shows up.
Oh, man, I can't wait till you get to the end of that, because I love the Punisher, too. Captain America, they're just fun characters. So anyway, that was a fun episode of Beard and Hat Connection. We didn't do worse than Luger because, we don't want to put anyone on the spot. Next week, we'll get it popping a little better. Arun, thank you for coming on and being the best guest ever. You the man, obviously.
Thank you, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Happy to be back anytime. You guys have a great show.
Hey, thanks, man. You made it a great show. Mike, anything else you want to say before I say peace to the people?
No, I'm off work on Tuesday, so look for me to stream some stuff on Tuesday, probably in the late afternoon, about 3, 4 o'clock, and probably get into the MLB The Show jump off.
That'll be the last Tuesday you have free to yourself, because hockey comes out the next Tuesday. We're taking over the EASHL, baby. If you got the Xbox 360, Arun, you got to get that on that, baby. We'll all be on the same team.
All right, man. Well, yeah, you know what's funny? I have a 360, but when I moved to L.A., my movers stole my power strips and my controllers, so I actually can't use my 360 right now, but it's what it is.
That's un-American, my friend. Hopefully, I wonder if maybe our viewers have an extra one you can ship out to my man in a room. We can all play hockey together. But anyway, all right, that's the Beard and Hat Connection. We'll be back next week, and everyone.